Philo, Illinois, the center of the universe. Johnny!
Stevie J.
And Coach Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer. You see him on ESPN. It's an icon. He's coming to town today on this 11-11-11. Only happens once in a 100-year span, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Well, we're excited to have you in town tonight. I've seen some of the auction items, including dinner at Ditka's with Mike and Diana. But Johnny and I get to come, too, so we're excited.
Save room for dessert, too.
I don't know how you could possibly have dessert, because I start off with the pot roast nachos, and that about fills me up for the night. I can't. I told Johnny last night at dinner that I think Ditka's is about my favorite restaurant, Mike.
Yummy.
You know, that pot roast nachos thing, it's a crazy thing, and I try to stay away from them, but the other night, we got them, and I couldn't stop. I just can't stop. The darn things are so good, it's crazy.
I know it
when
is.
You say pot roast nachos, people look at you, what? What are you talking about?
Who invented that? Did you invent?
No, my partner in Pittsburgh had a restaurant, and he had them there, and when I went to the restaurant in Pittsburgh, I tried them, and I said, geez, Pat, I said, you got to put these on our restaurant in Chicago. Oh, he said, they'll never sell in Chicago. I said, just try them. Well, it's our biggest seller.
Is that right? Well, yeah. It's crazy. All right, Mike and Johnny, the biggest story this week is Penn State and the tragedy that is that situation. I'm breathless thinking about this, Mike, talking about this. It couldn't be a more horrible scenario that they've got in Penn State right now.
Well, it's as bad as I've ever seen. And like I said, you know, I think that everybody has an idea. We've heard all the critics and all the pundits and everything, but nobody really knows what happened. I mean, basically you hear the stories of what happened. But the thing that bothers me just a little bit, and I'm not defending anybody, listen to me. I think that, you know, the culprit in this is Sandusky. And we spun this thing to make the university people culprits and the head coach a culprit, and I don't think that's right. Now, I know it comes down to what you know and when you know and all that stuff, but I think in the normal day-to-day operation, when this was when Coach Paterno was approached with this, he took it to the uppers, the people above him, and he said it. Now, I don't know why that anybody who saw this act happening wouldn't stop it, wouldn't intervene. I mean, I don't know anything about this stuff, so I don't think I'm qualified to talk on it. It's disappointing because Joe Paterno recruited me in high school. He's a dear friend. He's a dear man. He's a great asset to college football, to American youth, to everything that counts for good things in the world. And to be brought down by something like this is, I think it's totally unfair, but, you know, then again, that's only me.
Well, I tell you, it's just, Steve, it's just a tragedy, and head shaker, like you like to say, and yep. I don't have any real comments other, you know, I kind of think Mike's making a point, but on the other hand, you know, you almost have to clean out and start over again because of that kind of pail hanging over you over something like this, and because there is that kind of feeling, well, maybe someone should have done something, but It's just a bad deal, and that's all I can say.
It is indeed. It's going to be around as more things are uncovered about what people knew when, and also perhaps even more egregious crimes occurred. And the investigation is on, and there are a lot of people looking into this, and it's going to be in the news for a very long time. All right, the debate the other night, it was Rick Perry who had that darn memory lapse, Johnny. I tell you, everybody's been there when you're speaking somewhere and you cannot remember item number three. But I thought he did a good job coming out and making fun of himself and saying and joking on the top 10 with David Letterman last night.
Well, I think, you know what, we'll see. He definitely looked pretty bad on that. I didn't watch the clip, but you're right. You're talking along and all of a sudden your mind goes blank. And when you run for president, you really don't want that to happen very often. And, of course, everybody's like, he's done.
Oh,
that's
know.
It for him. And
yeah.
I don't probably believe that's the case. But, I've never been up there in that kind of situation, Mike, where you're trying to get votes. And then I can't imagine some of the pressures in doing it. But they're all pretty good speakers in general. And I don't think something like that ends it. But, you know, you add it all up, and Rick's got a ways to go. So he gets on his own talking one-on-one or even two-man debate. I think he looks pretty good. But we'll see what happens.
Well, that's why some people use prompters, guys.
That makes President Obama look pretty smart. Yeah. Got the teleprompter.
That is good. But is there anybody? And I told Mom yesterday, Johnny. I said I'd pay $40 pay per view. Maybe it'd be a fundraiser for the country. I'd pay $40 to see Newt Gingrich and Barack Obama debate.
Yeah, I think Newt's got a handle on it, and he just seems to be able to come up with the facts and present them in a coherent manner just on almost every subject. And he keeps moving up, Mike. He just keeps inching up in the polls, and he's doing real well.
Well, I think that's probably you're probably right, and I agree with you 100%. I think qualification wise. Nobody better than Newt Gingrich, and very intelligent. I could debate anybody. I think that the media hasn't decided to attack him yet, but eventually they'll get to him too.
Yeah, well, that's right. They're going to talk about his three wives and all these other things.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be something else.
It'll be coming out. But what's amazing? The poll this morning, guys, shows. Now this is a national poll of likely Republican voters. It's Herman Cain. Down from 25 down to 18, but then it's Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich at 15, which certainly clearly indicates it's wide open.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me about Newt Gingrich is that he's just coming up slow, and I think when those 15% that he has are pretty solid, and I think when he builds a point or two, it's going to stay there, and it's going to be very interesting to see if he can keep kind of getting up to a level that he'll be maybe one out of the two people left or something like that. But I'm liking him more than I've always liked him, but I like him a lot more now than I ever have. And so being out of politics more or less for a while but having that experience in politics is another plus for Newt Gingrich. He's been there. He's seen it. He knows how it works. And I think when he says we got to get rid of this and we got to add that, I think he might know what he's talking about.
I think you're right, John, and whether it works or not, who knows, but it'll be interesting to see what happens coming down the stretch here, and again, I say, you know, in America, and we have to understand this as Americans and as voters, you get what you tolerate, and if you want to change something, then you're the only people that can change it, so, you know, if it doesn't work the way you want it to work, then don't gripe it, don't complain it, don't whine. I mean, you can only cast your ballot and go about your business. This is why we're a democracy.
All right, we have another debate in South Carolina tomorrow as this continues to unfold. We're less than, 50-some days now till the Iowa caucus, which will be upon us. And I would think by February 1st, we'll be down to three or four candidates. And that'll be it, because eight on a stage at once, pretty hard to get everybody any kind of equal time. All right, it's the NBA, Mike, and it looks like at least the players will get presented with something now, even though the union leadership isn't very happy.
Well, guys, they've been presented with something all the time. I mean, they've had a situation. They are not going to get what they want. That's the situation. So they think it's unfair that the owners aren't giving them what they want. But they've been offered a situation. And if you're in business with somebody, I'm not sure why a 50-50 split isn't good anyways. And when you start talking about, well, it's got to favor the players. I don't know. We're in business together. Let's make this work. Everybody makes a pretty good living out of it. Not every team in the NBA makes money, but they all make a pretty good living out of it. And they get the notoriety and they get the things they want out of it. Hey, 50-50 is a pretty good deal to me.
Well, and they're up at a range where if you're off 1% or 2%, yeah, it sounds like a lot of money, but there's plenty of money to go around for everybody in the NBA. And there's only 12 guys on the team. But I think you just get stuck on these small points and, you know, they'll hammer it out. I mean, it's one thing's for sure. They have an incentive, both sides do, to come up with something. And I've kind of always been more owner-leaning on something like this because I know what it takes to get a league established, or at least I can have some inkling of what it takes to establish a league, get sponsors, take the risk to even hire a guy. They may not even be able to play in the NBA, and you shell out a lot of money. And I think the players get an opportunity to play basketball. And so when they're making $10 million and they want $12 million, it just doesn't really strike any real chord with me, Stevie.
Yeah, but, I understand.
I think they're going to get. I think they're going to get a something worked out here because it's getting to the point where they will lose the entire season now.
Well, I tell you what, if you think they're going to get something worked out, you're a better man than me because I don't think a lot of people really care. I'll be honest with you. Maybe I'm missing something in the translation of this whole thing. But I don't really see a lot of clamoring for professional basketball right now. The NCAA is starting up. And I'm sorry, maybe there is, but I just don't see it. So it's not like but I think you're barking up the wrong tree if they think the whole world's going to stop if they don't play basketball, because it's not. Life goes on.
Well, and that's why I think they may be seeing that, and that's another reason to maybe, okay, guys, look, we're going to lose. We don't have what we thought we had. We better get back to work because
it becomes a power struggle. You know as well as I do that nobody wants to look like the person who gave in this situation. Because if the union does, in a sense, well, we weakened our bargaining position, which is foolish because that's why you have ownership and unions and it's negotiated and to bargain and you come up with agreements that's favorable everybody involved. And if you don't do that, then there's really no reason to have them.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. To the NFL we go. Some matchups that have intrigue. New Orleans.
Well,
and
Steve, before we start talking about the games, I want to talk about ESPN. Mike Ditka picks the Chicago Bears. Every single other guy, which I don't know if I remember seeing all your guys' picks, the other team, when one guy picks the Bears.
They gang up on me. I didn't know if you knew.
But no, and I was standing up for you too, Mike, because you thought they were going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Now you're a loyal Bear guy, but you thought they were going to win. We've been talking about it for a week or two, and you called it. And I thought that was great. So
as on Monday, the Countdown show, Mike Ditka said Bears over Philadelphia. Nobody else did. And
there's like seven or eight other guys.
Yeah. And the ultimate Bear picked the Bears, and you really jumped up the standings too in your overall record. That's going to help.
I don't care about that, but people, I think you forget that the Bears are a good football team when they do X, Y, Z. And when they don't do those, they become just like a lot of other teams. When they don't turn the football over and they can protect the quarterback. I mean, you saw the quarterback last week, guys. We won't see too many quarterbacks in this league put a better performance than Jay Cutler put in. Now, whether you like it or not, that's just fact. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, he's a pretty darn good football player.
Boy, I tell you who else isn't too bad. I wish the Saints had Julius Peppers because that guy goes all over the field. And you get one guy like that, and it makes a big difference. Yeah. And boy, he's played a long time too. Has he been around a while? I know he was at Carolina for a while.
Oh, he's been around quite a while, John. He's probably a 8 or 9 year veteran right now.
Yeah. He's like 6'7", 290, and I'm telling you what, he's still quick as a cat.
He's persistent. I'll say that.
So, right. But anyway, I thought the Bears played a great game, Steve.
Well,
our partner there came through with the right pick. So
it was an awesome pick. Okay, New Orleans at Atlanta. That's a tough matchup for the Saints out of the dome, their dome.
Well, they're playing in a dome though, so that helps Drew Brees. We don't. I've been whining about our defense all year on the road. I would call it a tough game for the Saints. Obviously, with Brees, you can win any game, but I don't know about that one, Steve. I don't know. We beat them last year, so I'm going to say the Saints are, well, I'm not going to call it. 50-50 for me. Worried about the Atlanta Falcons, who are 5-3, by the way.
Yeah they got to control the Falcons' pass rush and the running game. They can do that. They'll win the game. They got too many weapons on offense. The Falcons cannot cover their receivers, so... You know, what they do offensively, what Sean does, what Drew Brees does is pretty interesting. And if you break it down, they're really good. Now, they're going to have to outscore some teams. But we see that in Green Bay, too. They have to outscore some people.
That's true, too.
Yeah. All right, we're going to leave it there. We'll be right back with some more matchups with Johnny and Mike and talk a little bit more in just a moment. 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM, 751. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny here on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Mike Ditka and Jim McMahon together tonight. The 8th Annual Mega Sports Benefit iHotel and Conference Center. Might be a ticket remaining. You can call 202-2821. Big Mike might have a ticket left if you want to see these guys on stage talking about a whole lot of things. And we're excited about that appearance tonight with you, Mike. All right, let's go to the matchups again. The Giants at San Francisco. I'm telling you, Jim Harbaugh has done a heck of a job with his 49ers, Mike.
They're a good football team. They play good defense. They stop the run. They run the ball. Those two things they do well. They're going to have their work cut out for them with a good Giants football team. Eli Manning probably playing as good a football as he's played in a long, long time. In saying all that, I tell you what, Harbaugh has a simple philosophy. Here we are. Here's how we play. If you're good enough, beat us. I mean, that's what he says. I mean, this is what we do. And, you know, they're running the offense from the 85 Bears, guys. I'm not kidding you. I mean, this is not this spread-out offense they're running. They run the tight end. They use two backs. They do all the things that we did. They'll get into some three-receiver sets, but they're a good football team.
Well, I'll tell you, the NFC surprises Detroit and San Fran. They're for real, it looks like. So,
yeah. The Detroit-Chicago game is going to be huge. I mean, Chicago's a good football team. I think another team... The game is going to be an interesting. I'd be very surprised if the Minnesota Green Bay game is not a good game. I think Minnesota is a little better team than people in the record show. I think that new young quarterback Ponder is going to make them. I think he's going to make them a better football team offensively. And of course, when you got that running back, you know you've always got a chance.
All right, and finally, the Jets and New England in New York in the Meadowlands. New England and the Jets ought to be a darn good Sunday night game.
Well, again, you know, guys, you watch New England play. I mean, it's kind of, you know, they don't protect Brady, and they don't stop anybody on defense. They almost got to get into a mode where they outscore people. Then again, you know, the Jets got to keep their, you know, their head out of the air and win there with, be sound of what they're doing. I think the Jets are going to beat them.
Well, how's that division doing with New England?
It's up for grabs right now. It's New England and Buffalo, I think, are tied.
Yeah, it's actually all to New England. New England, the Jets, and Buffalo all at 5-3.
And, you know, Miami's behind, but Miami's a better team than their record, too, as they showed last week. But then again, you could only, you know, it doesn't matter if you're better than your record. You got to live by your record.
Yeah, you're getting a hole. But, yeah, I'm a little surprised the Patriots have struggled like they have. They may not be as good as I originally thought.
Done. It's all their defense, really. And they've been fortunate. They've been able to outscore people, protect the quarterback. Now, like, people are getting to the quarterback.
All right.
Well, I think halfway through the season, I'm going to have to, just for the heck of it, say that the AFC's best team's Baltimore, and the NFC's, of course, I think Green Bay might. Everybody might agree on that, but it's a lot of teams are in it though, and it's fun to watch. Pretty competitive.
All right. Finally, as we wind down the program this morning, comment today for us, would you, Mike and Johnny? I'll start with you, Mike, on Veterans Day and what the soldier means to America.
Well, it's like so many things in our society. We take it for granted. I mean, we understand that certain people do certain things, and certain people are going to be in the military. But our military has always been of service. You know, it's been about service. These young men, I had an experience in the airport the other day with these guys. There had to be 20 of them. They just got back from Iraq, and, we were taking pictures, and they were so excited. And they're just kids. They're kids, but they made a commitment to defend their country and the freedoms that we all appreciate, the life that we all appreciate. I think we take them for granted too much, and I think every time you see somebody in uniform, just walk up and say, hey, thanks for what you're doing. It means a lot.
And I agree. I think it means freedom, and it's hard. And the people that stood up and really put their life on the line when this country was formed, and then the ones that are doing it today, are the reasons that we're enjoying the quality of life we do. And then on our end, we need to not take it for granted, and which we do, and continue to guard it at home, because we keep, and that means being responsible and being grateful, and not taking what we've got here in this country for granted. And of course, the veterans and the people in the armed service today have really their core to what we've got and what we're going to have. So. It's something to remember Steve.
Yeah,
and some of these guys are great guys. The World War II veterans, there's not all that many of those guys around, Mike. I agree.
And then when you meet those guys, but there are some around. You're right. Hey, listen, that's a long time ago. You know.
Yeah, right. It's getting there.
To be in their 90s or 100.
Yeah. God bless.
But anyway, thank God, it's a great country. I hope that we understand that we should appreciate more. It's fine to criticize and it's fine to be critical, like we do at times. But hey, I would rather not live anywhere but here.
Hey, Mike, we'll see you a little later today. We're excited about the appearance tonight. Johnny, as always, thank you both for your time.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, TV.
All right, see you in a bit. That's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.6.